At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Again, fellow basement dwellers, this is your good friend Patrick O'Dowd welcoming you in to another edition of Bandwagon Nerds. Bandwagon Nerds is, of course, brought to you as a part of the Chairshot Radio Network here on thechairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head.
Thechairshot.com, always use your head.
301 episodes. Going strong. Easy to remember what episode you are after you hit a milestone, right? It's just easy to do. So I got you for this one. But then no Patrick. Shock to everyone. No Patrick for 2 weeks because I am
Shame.
The best part-timer in the biz.
Shame.
To quote.
Shame. Shame.
I'm not ashamed.
Shame.
To quote Eric Cartman and Mr. Mackey, I got to make that nut. If you all watched this week's episode of South Park, you understand what I'm getting at. I have to work. The job calls. So 2 weeks with no Patrick O'Dowd and then an exhausted Patrick O'Dowd come Labor Day weekend. But I'll be there. Or at least that is the plan, the alleged plan. Of one Patrick O'Dowd. I am not alone. I am, of course, joined by the bandwagon crew. To my right, we have Reverend Raymond S. Cashington Esquire, the beleaguered, tired 9,376,222.
Don't forget annoyed. I'm the curmudgeon today.
Annoyed.
I'm the curmudgeon today.
Really, what did Superman do to you? Existed.
I don't even have a funny quip for you right now. I wasn't prepared for
Damn.
That.
Damn. All right. Well, we do have Ray Cash. We have the man probably about time to do that victory lap, as looks like Superman is going to be the highest grossing superhero film of 2025. The lawyer himself, David Ungar.
Yes. The fat lady has begun singing the first few notes of the song. I don't even think Ray's got. He can't even counter it right now. And we shared yesterday the end of a 17-year losing streak for DC to Marvel. So that's significant. Golf clap for Ray Cash.
Yes.
Gotcha. Congratulations. Yes. Legitimately, congratulations.
Yeah, an interesting time. What a time to be alive. That is not to say that either film did poorly, but no. One did less poorly.
I mean, that's a way to look at it.
It is.
Glass is half empty saying, there.
Here's why, and before we introduce the Executive Vice President of Talent Relations and Wednesday Evening Programming, PC Tunney, Mr. Saturday Night and all that, I predicted, I tried to sell, and maybe it gets there, I tried to sell you all that Superman was going to make $1 billion. So that's not looking good.
No.
So even, and that could just be the world we live in today with superhero films at this point. That might just be where we are right now. So we'll have to wait and see. But PC Tunney is here, of course. He did not have to put a show on this past weekend. He didn't have to find something from the archives because there was an actual show this weekend.
I stopped doing that a long time ago, actually.
I know you did, but it's the joke.
I just start putting shows up early. Shows just get extra soak, you know?
That's true. And usually hearing my voice. So, okay, we do have a bit, I don't know, like we got some fun rumors to talk about. We got some news. We got a major court settlement. Disney did some shit. There's just a lot that happened in around the nerdosphere as we patiently wait for the next series or show to watch and cover. I know Dave had some ideas. I don't know if he's going to lay those out at any time. I don't care. I'm gone for 2 weeks. So, you know, I know what these shows are going to be. I know when I listen back to them, I'm going to yell at the speaker and be like, why did you let Dave say that, Tony? Why did you do that? Why did you let Ray get away with that, Dave? Why did you do that? Ray, why did you yell at Tony like that? What the hell, man?
You're gonna, so, if you I'm know, yelling at Tony, you're going to be happy.
Who let that DJ guy in the front door? I can hear that coming,
yeah,
too.
Why we keep inviting? I hear he has a podcast on this network. I hear some people listen to it. That's the story. I hear that that it's a little mindless, but it's there. So, but we got a fun little eclectic visit to the trailer park. Lots to cover this week before I disappear. And we should just get right to it and do that. You know what? I'm going to let the curmudgeon, in his most angry voice, curmudgeon-y effort, choose the beautiful banjo number for the trailer park today, between 1 and 5.
On Flabby, give me number 5.
I mean, in the land of banjo choices, this does feel like one of the more angry choices you could go with. So I guess that works. A little more rage. We have three trailers today, and I don't. And I didn't share a damn one of them. As I confessed, getting ready for the show, I forgot to watch them prior to the show, and we got started late today because Patrick O'Dowd was irresponsible and had to watch the trailers. Two of these were shared by one PC Tunney, and the other one was shared by Raymond S. Cashington Esquire, 9 million, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, 22. So, you know, some days I just don't have it, guys. I just am not there. And I'm gonna put it on the little O'Dowd. Little O'Dowd got his first phone yesterday. Big deal. 13-year-old. He was very excited and was trying to play it cool. It was so funny when the phone was finally his, that was when he like showed his excitement. And I was happy to be an actual parent there, as opposed to what Brendan Fraser is going to be doing in his upcoming flick, Rental Family, where he plays an American actor in Japan who gets hired by a company to pretend to be folks in their lives, to act like folks in their lives, including being a father to a young girl. And who I presume is either her single mom or a relative or whatever. I don't know. This is dramedy at its finest, in my opinion. If you look at it like it is, there are definitely funny moments. I think the best part is like, why are you hiring me to do this? And Ken Watanabe just says, because we need a token white guy. And that's how he gets the job. And from there, you get to see the sentimental side of it all, of him like having positive output and out, you know, reaching out on people's lives and impacting them in good ways. I'm sure he's going to get very attached to the young girl that he's pretending to be the father of, and that will in some way, shape, or form lead to a, oh no, we're sad conflict thing before it all gets resolved and we're happy in the end. So looks like an entertaining movie. I'll probably catch it. This is probably going to be a catch it on streaming one for me. I don't know that I'm going to make it to the theater, as I can't even make it to the theater for movies I want to see, because damn, am I sad that I did not get to the theaters this weekend to see Weapons.
Saw it yesterday.
Dude, I'm so sad that I 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. You don't you don't get anything universally loved like that. But we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about Rental Family. PC Tunney, if you could rent Brendan Fraser to be your father for a period of time, would you hire Brendan Fraser to be your dad?
I mean, money. But otherwise, my dad's pretty good. So, welcome, by the way, to the completely PC Tunney shared trailer park this week. You're welcome. Don't curl up your face like that, Ray.
I don't like it.
I think anything with Brendan Fraser now.
I thought Ray shared him.
No, did you share him? All three.
Oh, my bad.
Well, I meant to share him. I think he got to before I did. But yes,
That's why it's an all PC Tunney trailer park this week. You know, winning again. You can go on with one of these losers. Go ahead. I'm good. All right, I'm done with that gimmick. That was awesome though for me. Thanks, guys.
Glad it felt good for you, Dave. It
felt like winning.
Do you want to hire Brendan Fraser to pretend to be your brother-in-law?
As long as he shows up as Robot Man, I would be cool with it. Otherwise, I'm not so sure about the rest of it. No, I think, yeah, I mean, Brendan Fraser is, he's just tremendous in every level. This looks like you're saying, it's not one I'm going to rush out to the theaters to see, but it looks like it's going to be very, you know, it'll be heartwarming. It'll be charming. It'll be his typical magnificent performance that we've come to know from him ever since he made this great comeback. And I think this movie is right in that lane with the rest of the stuff he does. The girl looks familiar. Like, I think she's the girl, the little girl from Godzilla versus Kong. It's like the one who could talk to Kong. She looks a lot like that one, a little bit older. So I know she's got chops. So this looks like it'll be a fun one. Yeah.
Ray, would you hire Brendan Fraser to be the uninvited guest at your sister's cousin's wedding?
No, because I wouldn't be going to that shit anyway.
Okay.
Sister's cousin's, but the idea of, there was another show, movie or something that kind of, Kevin Hart did a movie called The Wedding Ringer with Josh Gad, which was the same premise, but from a comedic standpoint. Brendan Fraser is amazing. I know we did National Treasures last week. Brendan Fraser is nowhere close to 70, but I think he counts if you were to take age away, what he's gone through, what he means to cinema, what he means to us. I don't want him to get typecast that he came back, made his comeback with this big emotional fare of a movie and think that that's what he's got to do now. I don't want him to turn into Hugh Grant. You know what I mean? I want him to take chances. Like, I love that he did Robot Man. Take chances. Be a full-fledged actor. But this looks like a very, very good, fun, heartwarming, take your family to go see the movie type thing. And I have no doubt he'll kill it. I am very happy that the movie flipped, because that trailer with him being the Japanese, in a Japanese commercial with, like, the toothpaste. I can't do that, bro. I can't do it.
Well, I think it was just establishing where his career is. Like, you know, one of the things, and this is very much playing into an American audience, because we've seen bizarre Japanese commercials and we act as if we haven't seen bizarre commercials made stateside, is it's very much supposed to be like famous actor trying to like find meaning of it all. I think very Bill Murray in that movie with him and Scarlett Johansson. What is that movie called? Somebody help me with that.
Lost in Translation.
Yes, Lost in Translation. Thank you, Tony. And so it's, you know, giving you a glimpse into his life and how these roles are going to change his life too. Like, we're all going to be better people after we watch it. We're going to feel better. We're going to feel good about ourselves after seeing Brendan Fraser do his thing. You know what movie's not going to make us feel good about ourselves? And that's Jordan Peele's next film. Ray, I'm gonna let you go first on this one. We saw an initial trailer. Like, this is the second trailer for him we've seen. This is much more in detail. We get a much better look at Marlon Wayans and the nightmarish camp that he is running for this up-and-coming star athlete, this up-and-coming quarterback. This is going to be a fascinating metaphor for sports and the athlete. And I think not just the culture of winning, but I think the exaltation that we place on athletes.
Yes.
To succeed.
Important to note, while this is Monkey Paw and Jordan Peele, this is not a Peele movie. This is Justin Tipping. If you don't know Justin Tipping.
Sorry, my bad.
But it's just for, I mean, I'm sure people would be cool calling it Peele, but it's important to note because Tipping has his own certain type of way he does things, particularly when it comes to black movies. He's the guy behind Dear White People. So, like, he has a very unique lens. And with his cinematography and his ideology, first and foremost, the movie looks great. Marlon Wayans is one of our most underrated actors. He falls in that Jim Carrey range to me of he does comedy so well, you forget he can be dramatic. And when he does it, you're like, damn, I didn't know he had that in him. He's that talented. Go watch Requiem for a Dream if you don't believe me. I was a little worried about this movie because all of Monkey Paw's movies do two things. They want to subvert your expectations, but they also want to play on some type of trope or stereotype or ism. I was afraid that this movie, the ills and the negative stuff of this movie was coming from, almost similar to Weapons, some type of demonic nature. No, they just fucked up people. And it
certainly appears that way, yeah.
And I appreciated that. Because so much of what we've seen from Peele in recent time has been fanatical. Get Out. That shit ain't gonna happen in real life. You can't do that. Fucking Up. Not Up or Us. That's not real. The Nope.
For the record, exists, but like, Up can't happen either. Just to put that up there. You can't float your house away in balloons.
True.
But yeah.
It'd be a lot cooler than the shit that Peele has done.
Right.
But with all that being said, I appreciate that this is a little grounded. There is some demonic imagery in there. You saw like a head of Baphomet in there or something. But as fucked up as they are, like the part where he's having old dude do like drills and he's late. And so they got a homeboy standing in front of the jugs machine getting popped in the face every time. Like,
right.
That's fucked up. And I appreciate this. And they're going to show there's a big story we're going to talk about later on if we spend a lot of time on it or not about the ESPN deals or whatnot. Sports culture is so deified. Sports athletes are so deified. Marlon Wayans' quarterback in this movie is so deified to show how fucked up these people can be. I think it's going to be a beautifully terrible time of a movie.
Dave, do you think it's going to be a terrible time of a movie?
Terrible in a good way.
I know. Not exactly feeling this one so much. I don't know. It felt like Ghost Rider meets the NFL sort of thing going on, but I don't know. I'm not sure why I didn't feel a whole lot out of this. It certainly got some horrific and demonic elements to it, but nothing about this trailer really grabbed me or spoke to me that much. So that's me. That's not taking anything remotely away from what Ray just said about it. But that's just like, I don't know. I'm like, I don't need to see this one. But to each their own on this one. I'm saying the fact that some guy named Tunney shared this thing just really pisses me off. I mean, I'm just going to throw that out there. It really pisses me off, Pat. But
I mean, I'm crying on the inside.
Yeah,
Tunney, we know how much you love these kind of movies. What are your thoughts on this second trailer for him?
This is like the program, only insert Marlon Wayans with Mephisto-like capabilities instead of James Caan.
Like, that's what I meant.
Does it look like?
Yeah.
Like, it's I don't know. I think it'd be fun. Honestly, I shared all three of these because I knew that I'm probably going to watch all of them on streaming, to be honest with you. Well, the movies.
This looks fun. No Screen X for you?
No, I'm not going to the theater for these. I think pretty much it's going to have to be something really big outside of the MCU or DCU, something like a Beetlejuice or other things, you know. Like, I didn't even go see Oppenheimer or Barbie in the movie theaters.
Wow. Me either.
None of us.
I saw Barbie.
Thought about it.
I have four daughters, so I
Oh, well, that's true.
But that's, I mean, true. I did just go. Most of us did just go see two movies in 2 weeks, so that's pretty good.
Right. Yeah, I saw three. I meant to see another one.
Yeah, Dave saw Jurassic, and then Ray just went and saw Weapons. So, like, we see a lot of movies, more than the average person, I would think.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, let's move on to our third movie on this list here. Another, I understand. I'm gonna exit myself out of this conversation. I hate The Office. I hated The Office. Oh. I thought it was terrible.
Isn't this a show? This is a show, isn't it?
It is a show. This is a trailer for a show. The Office spinoff known as The Paper, following a newspaper. I never understood the appeal of The Office. I tried to watch The Office on more than one occasion, and so I am happy that Peacock is finding content to keep subscribers. I have no desire to watch The Paper. The trailer has some fun actors. Liked the cameo, not the cameo, but the appearance from the former Dunder Mifflin employee, whose name I don't even know because I didn't watch the show, being pissed off to see the camera crew, which is apparently the same camera crew that did The Office, which is why we have the spinoff. Tunney shared with us before we even started recording that he fully intends to watch this. So I usually don't go to the same person first more than once. But Dave, I'm skipping you today because Tunney was the one who really was sharing the most excitement. So Tunney, how excited are you for The Paper?
I think it's going to be great. I think they found a way to keep the vibe of The Office. Like, hey, if you're an Office super fan and you're expecting to tune into The Office, you're crazy. Like, the world has changed so much in a short period of time that you can't do that stuff The Office did, right? Like, it just doesn't fly. It's not the way comedy's done. I know we're kind of leaning back into some of that, but at the same time, that's not where any network show is going to go. The fact that they kept the same camera crew, moved on to do another documentary, stayed in the paper industry, moved on to a different type of paper product. You know, they sell toilet paper. They sell toilet paper seat covers or toilet seat covers, and they sell paper for newspapers, and the quality is in that order. That's hilarious to me. That's still the Office humor. And then the fact that you have, you know, the character of Oscar Martinez, I would imagine he's the accountant for this company, right? And he's like, are you kidding me? These people, he's like, I'm not doing this again. He goes, I'm not going to let you use it. And he starts swearing. It's hilarious to me, being an Office fan. So I can't wait to watch this.
Dave, now I hand it over to you.
Yeah, I'm not like an Office super fan, but I really enjoyed the show. And I think that, like Tunney's saying, this has all the elements of that with some new wrinkles thrown into it. I mean, there's very few people who've carried over that sort of thing, but just enough to kind of make it familiar. I want to see what they can do with this because I very much enjoyed The Office. Bring these guys back. Let's see what a new take on the whole series can be. So yeah, I'll probably check this one out. I think I'm not as enthused as Tunney is about it, but I'm definitely much more into this one than him. That's for sure.
Ray, you look like you're currently at a Dunder Mifflin factory. So why don't you tell us a little bit about how you feel about the spinoff, The Paper?
More like the what is the movie with Richard Atta, whatever his name is, the IT firm or the IT, whatever the movie is.
Oh, The Office? Or Office Space?
Well, that's one of them, but there's another one that's like a British show with I'll find it. I've appreciated The Office for what it is. I find so many clips from it hilarious, but I have never ever watched it in totality. I've probably watched two full episodes. I've just watched it in clips. It's interesting. Tunney says that type of comedy doesn't work. Well, Modern Family was a type of comedy, and it worked great for like 15 years.
No way. There was
single cam cut comedy.
You're mistaken.
Multicam. I'm sorry.
No. That's not what I'm talking about. I was talking about the humor,
like the brand of humor, like the type
maybe
of humor.
Well, if you say that, didn't this trailer feel a lot more like Parks and Rec than The Office?
Well, I mean, The Office, Parks and Rec is derivative of The Office.
Sure.
Like, The Office did it. The Office did it first and best, and there are so many, like, this documentary footage style has been done for multiple shows now at this point, because there's Parks and Rec. Brooklyn Nine-Nine was very much like that.
Abbott
Elementary. Yeah. But The Office did it first. And my thing with The Office, I was never behind any of the characters. Like, I just didn't like any of them. And I know that, like, a lot of people be like, look, Michael grows on you as the series goes on. People, you know, he gets to be more and more doing. I just couldn't get past it. And so I moved on relatively quickly from that. But I get, I mean, it had a monster following. One of my favorite radio shows back in Illinois, though, both the hosts, man, they loved The Office and would quote it left and right on their show. So I get it. The thing that I appreciate about what this sitcom does in terms of a spinoff, and is something that most good spinoffs do, you have to have that connective tissue to the original show, which, as Tony pointed out, what's his name again, man? I'm sorry.
Oscar Nunez plays the character Oscar Martinez.
So you've got Oscar, who is the character, the connecting character. He's not the main character. He's there. You know, and sometimes that spinoff character is a main character. See also Frasier Crane. But you have to have that connective tissue back to the OG, because you want to be able to connect to where it was. The other thing that's interesting is the other connective tissue is the film crew, which, as the series moved on, from what I understand, the film crew became more a part of the show itself and with stories like here and there. Not like all the time, but there was a familiarity there. So I think this will do well. I think that it's, you know, I appreciate that it's a spinoff, not a reboot, kind of a continuation. These shows have varying levels of success. For every successful one, you get, you know, Night Court.
The fun thing for Office super fans, which I am one of them, I can still watch The Office. I prefer to watch Office when Jim and Pam are together as opposed to when they're not, but I can still watch both. Is that weird? I don't know. But the cool thing is, having the character Oscar Martinez in this show means you live in the same reality as The Office. So you can still have cameos from old Office characters that are still going to be the same person, because Oscar is a part of this world.
Yeah. And I think that that's very much, again, good spinoffs. You're going to have guest appearances and guest stars. And, you know, if it follows a sitcom of spinoff pattern, there'll be sort of minor periphery connections because they're going to save the big ones for later. Like, someday Dwight Schrute will show up. Someday Jim will show up. Pam will show up. It will.
I don't think Rainn Wilson will ever do Dwight again, because he's talked ad nauseum about how much he appreciated that role, but it's ruined his life. I don't think he'd do it again.
That was the spin-off.
I'll believe it when I see it.
That was the spinoff that was kind of supposed to happen, that didn't really get greenlit, which was supposed to be Schrute Farms, was supposed to happen next with him and Angela.
I will just say, time has a way of changing things.
You're right.
So it wouldn't surprise me at all.
Okay, let's play this game real quick. Who's the least likely character you think to show up on the show? And me, I think, while you might hear a mention of Michael Scott or some of his accomplishments or see a picture, I don't think you'll ever see Steve Carell on this. I think he's the least likely, in my opinion.
I would agree. You call me crazy. I don't think we see Michael Scott, Dwight Schrute, or Jim Hart, whatever his name is. I don't see Krasinski's not coming back either. I don't see it.
What's Jim's last name? God.
Harper? Hartler?
Halpert.
So anyway, maybe not. I don't know. It also depends on how well the show does. So I hear a lot of no. I've also watched enough spinoffs to see somebody make it appear. Ted Danson showed up on Frasier. Like, they happen all the time. Yeah. So anyway, we got to take our first commercial break. We're going to come in. We're going to dive into some news around the Nerdosphere. Universal's feeling itself. Disney settling lawsuits. Actually, well, Lucasfilm settling lawsuits. We're going to talk about it all when we come back. You are listening to Bandwagon Nerds here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of thechairshot.com.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Welcome back, everyone, to Bandwagon Nerds here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of the Chairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head. Make sure you head over to ProWrestlingTees.com/Chairshot and invest in one of our many Chairshot shirt designs. We got all kinds of great ones over there, only $19.99, including the Bandwagon Nerd shirt. Spend a few dollars more, get it soft style. Your giblets will thank you. Gentlemen, I shared an article to which Dave replied, I'd like to see them try. And, I'm sorry, I skipped. My fault. We're going to start with a rumor killer. My bad. I'm so sorry. I know I failed everyone. Dave is giving me, folks, we don't show the show.
You could have just kept going.
I was going to say, you could have just kept, no, just reverse the order and keep going.
Are you a golfer?
Brain,
do you golf?
Like,
do you golf, Patrick?
No, I don't.
Because golfers call penalty strokes on themselves. That's what made me think.
This is it's very much how my mind operates. I did not follow the prescribed plan. Therefore, I had to stop and redo it. It's just who I am. Anyway, there was a rumor that started floating around with regard to the Batman 2. Because here's the thing. Now that it has been announced that the Batman 2 script is finished and that filming is going to begin with our Pat and we're going to get some stuff, that means we got to have room. And our first big one came this week when Hollywood Insider, I'm going to give him the quotation marks, Jeff Snyder, amongst others, shared the rumor that Robin will be making his debut in the Batman Part 2. Total apologies for the article I sent, that it just is him saying that he's sharing a rumor and you got to get past the paywall to actually read the rumor. Immediately followed by the DC Universe Overlord shortly thereafter, like a day or so after, saying, nope. And let's see, I'm going to read the quote. He said, "Guys, please stop believing this nonsense. I think six of us have read the script. No one knows anything about Batman 2. James Gunn takes all the fun out of this for you all, because you all know how I feel about rumors. You know how I am. But how can you speculate about things when James Gunn says no?
Because people lie.
Do you think James Gunn's lying?
I think any good filmmaker worth their weight in salt, more importantly, any good studio head worth their weight in salt, should absolutely work the masses. The probably one of the biggest and most notable works was the first Infinity War trailer. None of that should happen, but it got us hype.
Sure, it was a trailer. Some of it happened.
But is the exact thing that he said, Is the exact thing that he said, only a handful of people have read the script and that speculation is nonsense? Is that the quote? Because that doesn't deny whether or not... That doesn't deny whether or not Robin is in this movie or not. It just accepts the fact that he thinks speculation is nonsense.
Gunn put his foot down regarding the speculation surrounding the inclusion of Robin in the script for director Matt Reeves. Like, he responded directly to somebody and said, "Stop saying that." Like it was a Threads post. He responded directly to somebody peddling the rumor. Here's the thing, and this is what's really interesting DC, about the article.
Like a verified DC account, right? I think that's right.
It wasn't just like this Snyder guy or whatever.
Right.
And here's the thing, and what I think is really interesting about what the article that I shared for the follow-up is that James Gunn does do the play you sort of thing, or play the audience for hype. But he's also really pretty good at being direct when he wants to be direct about killing something or squashing it. Like, because there's been times where he's been like, the Robert Downey Jr. gif, maybe. And this doesn't feel like one of those. Tony, go ahead.
I got the exact quote. So I think you're right. He's shooting it down. Guys, please stop believing this nonsense. I think six of us have read the script. No one knows anything about the Batman 2.
There's still a level of vagueness to it. But I think... while being stringent, but I think the reason being is because out of his own mouth, or at least in his own interviews and imagery, Brave and the Bold is going to have Robin. So you want to play them against each other?
That's what I was going to say. I think because Robin's going to make his debut in The Brave and the Bold, and that's why Gunn is like, just get this Batman 2 shit out of your head. It's not happening there, because I'm going to put it here.
For what it's worth, the post that he replied to got taken down.
Also, there is a way it could be both Robins, because we know it's Damian in Brave and the Bold. Who's to say it isn't a grown Nightwing?
He is saying straight up that I hear what you're doing.
No, I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. I just think there is a level of vagueness to it. And you're right. Matt, the way he does, he has carte blanche. You have a movie, you do what the fuck you want. So there's some vagueness to it.
The thing of him saying only six people have read the script makes me think that the fact is, like, Robin's not in the script, but we don't even know if he could be in the script because the script is so not even close to anything of what it could possibly be yet, right?
Is the script done?
Well, here's what it told me is that, like, it's very tightly kept under wraps. It told me that this is tightly under wraps. They don't want you to know anything about it. But I do think that when he's teasing, his tone is very different than when he is not teasing. And I think that's, for me, when I read that tweet and he's like, stop this nonsense, that's not him being coy. And I've seen James Gunn be coy, and this just doesn't feel like that. You know what I mean?
My only disagreement, because you're right, you're 1,000% right. My only deviation is, before now, he had never been in a position to be that coy like that with this much scrutiny. There is a whole different level of scrutiny that him and Safran have now, especially with the success of Superman.
Well, but look at the shit he shot down with Superman, though, because Superman is a good point. Like, he played along with stuff within Superman. He also, when something was straight up not there, he would just say, nope. Like it's split hairs. We're going to find out in like seven years.
Yeah, for sure. Superman is his movie. Right, this is not his movie. Batman isn't.
I'm willing to bet money that of the six people that have read that script, he's one of them. So he knows.
You can predict three of them easily. Matt Reeves, Peter Safran, James Gunn. The other three, don't know.
And I bet Pattinson is one of them.
Pattinson, probably. There's four.
He's EP on the movie. Yeah, EP in the movie.
Right. It would be hilarious if he's like, well, I heard there's a script done. I'm about to do a weird art house movie with Willem Dafoe in a lighthouse. It's called Lighthouse 2. Anyway.
Yes.
By the way, fucking weird ass movie, by the way. If you've ever seen The Lighthouse with Willem Dafoe and Robert Pattinson, you will not unsee it. It's messed up. Mermaids will get you. All right. Dave, now we'll get to the story. I'm sorry. Did you have something to add? I don't know that.
I was just thinking of
conversation.
Demonic mermaids is just, it's resonating with me, but go ahead.
Okay. Well, Universal says that they are going to sue big tech companies if they steal their films with AI. Now, this isn't the first time we've had studios come out and say something strong about AI hijacking film or stealing films in various ways. Universal is just the latest one. And Dave, your first comment was like, good luck trying to track it down. While I agree with you to an extent, because there's so many people hauling it out there, I do think that a threat of something will slow some down and will be an interesting little dynamic to play out. But you're the lawyer.
Can I clarify? So let me clarify this. From the standpoint of blatantly ripping off movies and using AI to do some of the stuff that we see AI do, yeah, I think they can sue the shit out of them. From the standpoint of what I meant by that is the notion of them trying to stop these big AI engines from mining their content to train further generations of AI. That's what I meant. Like, good luck stopping that, because I don't know how you're going to pull. You'd have to employ your own counter AI with your own version of AI to really kind of map that out and be able to track where they're getting this from. Because it's, these things are pulling this data at such an alarmingly fast, almost quantum rate right now, that how are you going to be able to possibly figure that out?
But I don't think that's really what they're going after, because if you go further down in this article from the Hollywood Reporter, what they're saying is, like, there will be companies literally reproducing damn near perfect screen, like film shots.
That's
of the
yeah.
film, and they've got these yeah. pictures of Shrek. They've got these pictures of Shrek, where this company Midjourney and their picture of Shrek versus the Universal copyrighted characters, and using those images. And I do think there is like this is from this was an exhibit from Universal and Disney's lawsuit against the AI company Midjourney that shows an AI Shrek in an original film still, and just
sure.
how
sure.
There's no deep fake. Like, that's a deep fake on top of themselves. And I do, like, as a company, you got to protect your product.
You do. Right? And
you
don't
still try.
And don't get me wrong. You could see a Spotify sort of response to, like, people who are using copyrighted stuff and putting them in their own Midjourney or whatever ChatGPT's video replication software is, or even like Grok. Hey, Grok, give me a video using this scene from Shrek. It'll do it. And Tunney knows that as well. But yeah, I think those are easily trackable. And Universal would come back and say, take this shit down or we will sue you. And they absolutely have every right in the world to do that. So I could see that stuff for sure is easily. My concern was like, I don't know how you're going to stop it from employing that in the grand scheme of whatever pool of data that they're drawing from to. I mean, yeah, there's probably telltale signs. Okay, we know where you got this from, that sort of thing. My comment was generally more aligned with the whole.
Yeah, I don't think PC Tunney asking Grok to generate an image is who they care about. I think probably they care not. About companies.
Well, they care about Tunney. They care about Tunney. Everybody cares about Tunney because he's just, you know, he's out there. The EVP.
He's the chief. He's the head of content.
Oh, I'm sorry. I called you an EVP, Tunney. That's AEW. I'm sorry.
Is it my turn to talk?
Tunney, are you afraid of Universal suing you over your Grok generated images of Shrek?
No, I'm not. You know, like Dave said, it all depends on what you're using it for. I think the bigger the fish, they're going to catch you if you're making money off of it, or if you're misrepresenting them, or if it's something they just don't want you to do. I think the people using this are going to have to find like the biggest fish in the small ponds, not the giant whales in the ocean, you know, if they want to capitalize off of something like this type of technology. But as far as like the point Dave was making, good luck trying to figure out if someone's training their AI with the product that you make available, you know, free to consume or, you know, accessible to consume after you've purchased whatever right to watch it on streaming or the entire thing. You can use that to train whatever the fuck you want.
You need your own AI to track it. That's the thing. I mean, that's the only way to do it.
Yeah, and if you're smart enough to find a way to use it like that, you're going to find a way to encrypt it so that you can't tell that that's the way it happened.
In fact, Ray right now, while we've been talking, has been generating AI images.
I saw him. I saw that. And it's a lot of Superman slander in these images you're generating, Ray. I mean, come on. Don't be bitter.
Good Lord. Look at you poking the bear.
Ray knows I love him. I'm just trying to get a smile out of him and failing miserably. Sorry, Ray.
So, Ray, anything to add while you're generating AI images of Superman?
I don't really. I'm torn on AI because I use it so much at my job and work.
Right.
It's such a great tool, but I don't think I don't think creators should ever lose the ability of their ability to profit, or their ability to trademark, or their ability to have creative control or some type of control over their imagery. I do think Tunney made a good point in that it depends on what it's being used for. If I want to use AI to make a Shrek image for my kid's party, who gives a fuck? But if I'm trying to do not Shrek, but Spleck, the movie, yeah, take my ass to jail.
The difference is, Ray, if you want to make an AI-generated poster, happy birthday, blah, 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 this year's birthday with Shrek, swamp theme, cool. If you want to do that, they don't care. But if you end up selling 5,000 of them because people want them with different characters make X amount of money it's and they find out thing. That's the thing they're going to care
about. Monetization is the key. Once you start making money off this shit, they will come after you, and they have every right to come after you.
I mean, you guys got to remember, there was a time where Disney was going after nursing homes for painting their characters on their walls. Like this isn't unusual for companies. Like, this is a thing that has happened. I love Dave's like, Disney's a bunch of jerks, though.
That can be.
That mouse is a jerk. And They paid Gina Carano by virtue of Lucasfilm. They paid Gina Carano this week as the lawsuit that Gina Carano sued. She sued Lucasfilm back in 2024 for being fired from her role on The Mandalorian, and was all lined up. Like, she was lined up to be a major part of the Star Wars, like the Disney Star Wars cinematic universe. Cara Dune had been a popular character on The Mandalorian. Looked like she was lined up to have her own spin-off series. And then due to things that she posted out in the world, her online presence, specifically during the COVID-19 shutdowns, conspiracies about the United States election, just a lot of stuff that was considered quote unquote questionable. Disney let her go because they felt that her Disney/Lucasfilm let her go because they felt that her online posting was not in keeping with their own show's values and that of the company. So Gina Carano sued. Now she got help. She was bankrolled by one Elon Musk, who took it as a freedom of speech case. Settlement means no court made a decision. And yet at the same time, it's kind of a big deal, because if you settle out of court, because you don't want to project a lawsuit, I guess the first question is, I sorry to defer to Dave again, but as a lawyer, Lucasfilm eventually settles. We don't go through the trouble of a trial. A lot of times companies do this because the publicity of a trial and the work to get a trial really is kind of irrelevant to whatever the actual verdict would have been. And it's just easier to settle and move on. Is that what happened here? And what does it mean for companies like this if they have to, like, if they let somebody go based on, you know?
Well, yeah, this lawsuit had some thorny issues to it because it is a freedom of speech lawsuit and it is protected by the First Amendment. And so there were some aspects of it that were going to get messy or had the potential to get messy. And Disney, especially, you know, if this case comes to trial 2 years ago, Disney probably buckles down a little bit more and says, no, we're going to go and ride with our decision. You look at the political and judicial climate right now. Yeah, this is not a lawsuit you take to trial in front of any of the courts right now, because she's going to be portrayed as somebody who is you know, a MAGA supporter, and it's going to be, you know, given possibly some preferential treatment. I think it's interesting. Nowhere in this article, and you will never see it, are the terms of the settlement disclosed. Nowhere in there. So right. We don't know whether she got money. We don't know whether Disney said, look, Gina, here's what we're going to do. You dismiss the lawsuit. We're going to give you a prominent role in the Mandalorian and Grogu movie. We'll bring back your character. Whatever you make from that movie is whatever you – we'll cut you a deal. We'll do something about that. You'll be able to get right back into this thing. I would not be surprised if there was some sort of agreement like that made with her. But I think, yeah, the fact is there were – when you settle like this, you're taking this out of the hands of 12 jurors. You have no clue what kind of jury pool you're going to get. Are they going to be left? Are they going to be right? Somewhere in the middle? Who the hell knows? But in a civil lawsuit, you don't need proof beyond a reasonable doubt. You don't need a unanimous jury. You just need 9 of them to say, yeah, I think they fudged up, you know, and we're going to give her this X amount of money. So I think from Disney's standpoint, they just looked at everything going on in the world and they said, no, it's not worth it right now. The risk of a bad ruling coming out and incentivizing people to say the same sort of thing, knowing there are no repercussions, it's too great. So you settle. No one knows what the truth is. No one knows what the terms are. She will clearly be in the Mandalorian and Grogu movie, and she'll make a lot of money off of that. And I think that's my best guess as to what happened.
So Dave speculates that Gina Carano will be in the Mandalorian and Grogu. I will say Disney's statement says, with this lawsuit concluded, we look forward to identifying opportunities to work together with Ms. Carano in the near future. Man, I don't know. But we'll see. Tony, go to you. Gina Carano, when does she show back up in a Star Wars film?
You know, when it was first speculated that she was going to do Rangers of the New Republic, we were all on board for that. We were ready to hear that story mm-hmm. and for her character. So mm-hmm. I feel like it. What Dave's saying is a possibility. Like if they can have positive reviews of her reprising her character in this gigantic Mandalorian film, that leaves the door open for them to make even more money by actually doing the idea they wanted to do before. Should they? I don't know. This is all between them. I don't know. I don't think it's a slam dunk that she's going to be in the movie, but I think it would probably be better than 50-50.
Or Ahsoka season 50-50. Or Ahsoka season 2. I mean, that's possible
somewhere,
as well.
Somewhere they bring yeah. her character back to see if that they can get enough positive reviews to do that series, because I think that series is going to be really good.
Ray, thoughts? Gina Carano, back in Star Wars or no?
I'm torn. I think she played a great character. I think she had an excellent role. I think she matched. I was excited for the potential of the New Republic show that she was on the whatever show, the Rangers of the New Republic, whatever bullshit it was called. My issue is this. I'm all for free speech, and I'm all for being able to say the things you want to without fear of persecution, but losing your job to what you say isn't fear of persecution if your job has clauses like code of conduct or ethics clauses or things of that nature that affect that directly. So I think I don't like the precedent this is setting. I think this could be a bit dangerous because clearly we live in a world where you don't know where everybody stands emotionally, figuratively, societally, culturally, and Disney is in the business of making money from the IPs. And if someone were to come out and say the wildest shit about Black people or Asians or gay folk, they can just sue and they'll get their job back. I know there's a lot of cognitive dissonance there, but like these things start with slippery slopes, and that's my only concern here. I don't believe in this guarantee that she's going to start and get her job back and Cara Dune's going to pop up in Mando and Grogu the movie. I'm not convinced. Possibly. I just don't like the precedent that something like this could possibly set. Only concern.
Yeah, it is a dangerous thing, in my opinion, with that in terms of people feeling safe in their own workplace. And, you know, for the longest time, the company's held sway with a lot of this stuff. Like if something went against their quote unquote core values, they could let someone go. And that was cause. And that was that. And
wrong or right. That was just the way right. It was.
And I'm not advocating that. Yay. Companies should be able to let somebody go because they posted something online. I do think that context matters. And when you read a lot of what was posted by Ms. Carano, I went from somebody being like, I love that thick AZZ to being like, no, I don't want you around me anymore. Like, I'm scared of you in a bad way, not a sexy way. And it makes it harder for me to watch that person as a performer. Like, last week, when we talked about Clint Eastwood, I fucking hate Clint Eastwood. Fucking hate him. But he's on our group.
He's problematic. He's a great actor and a great mind.
He is. Problematic. He's wonderful. But as a person, don't care for him. And that's fine. That's my business. I don't think Clint Eastwood should lose the right to try and make money and work. But I do believe in a company's right to be like, look, you don't match our values and we need to let you go because you don't match what we want to stand for. Now, Disney has also notoriously in the last couple of years, particularly since the Trump administration retook over, phasing out some of that shit that they used to claim to value when it comes true. To, you know, mostly around LGBT matters. So it wouldn't surprise me if they, you know, bring back Gina Carano. I mean, some people are tough on.
The most important point you're trying to make, the most important point you're trying to make is me. Most of us here, Dave might be the exception because he does speak for a living to people. But like what I say at my job doesn't affect the bottom line of this job. What right. she says at her job affects the bottom line of what she's doing for the company. And I think that is a small thing, that caveat that matters.
It does indeed have an impact. All right, we're going to take our second commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the biggest streaming news of the week. Everybody knows it. You've already heard a dozen stories about it. So stick around for that to get the nerd's take on Disney's moves. You are listening to Bandwagon Nerds here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of thechairshot.com.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Welcome back, everyone, to Bandwagon Nerds here on the ChairShot Radio Network, part of TheChairShot.com, where we remind you to always use your head. ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot for all of your ChairShot shirt needs. Patrick O'Dowd, PC Tony, Ray Cash, David Ongar. Fellas, Disney did a lot this week. Like, the Disney company did a lot this week as they their big quarter earnings meeting was this week, this past Wednesday, Thursday, I want to say is when that Wednesday, I think it was. And the company dropped a lot of bombshells. And one of the big ones that I wanted to talk about here is the announcement that Disney Plus will be absorbing Hulu, that the standalone Hulu app is coming to an end. And Disney said it is fully integrating the Hulu service as it now owns 100% of the company, and that a new unified Disney Plus and Hulu streaming app will be available in 2026. This is in addition to the other big announcement that ESPN is launching its own streaming app beginning on August 21st. That's going to encompass all of their content, as well as NFL Red Zone, some NFL Network stuff, and WWE Premium Live Events. Hulu's one of the OGs, though. One of the OG streaming services, and put out some pretty big-time original content when it was going strong. I think the biggest one to me in terms of the nerdosphere was Prey. Prey was this Hulu exclusive film that came out that blew people away. They got them all excited. They really seemed to have a niche. The Handmaid's Tale, that was a Hulu series. So some really, really great content that Disney is now acquiring, rolling into Disney Plus. We've gotten an interesting sort of hybrid Disney Plus Hulu thing, even if you haven't gotten the whole package. I, for example, can watch certain Hulu offerings on my Disney Plus subscription. They may give me the first episode of a series to try and tempt me to get a Hulu Plus subscription. I'm very intrigued as to what this will mean for myself as a Disney Plus subscriber, i.e., what am I paying? Because it's going to go up, right? And that just begs the conversation that I seem to have had with many, many people. Isn't it great to have cable back, you guys? Isn't it just great? Except the difference is you just kind of get to pick when you watch what you watch. That's kind of nice. But, like, even that's not true, because now every one of these streaming services has, like, live channels, live events, things that you still have to schedule and meet. Like, Netflix, for example, you can watch the replay of Raw, but you got to wait till Raw airs at 8 o'clock. So it's interesting. It's what a time to be alive when it feels like things have gone full circle. We've talked about this in previous episodes of Bandwagon Nerds, but here we are again. I don't know how much this impacts some of you, because I do believe, Tony, you already have Hulu. Dave, do you have Hulu? You have the bundle. Ray, same.
Yeah.
So really, I'm the more interested. Like, I'm the guy without Hulu that's kind of interested to see where this goes for me. But what's it mean to the three of you? Tony, you dropped your mic. You kind of gestured a little bit. So do you have Hulu? Or are you in the in-between like me?
I have so many things. Like, I have DirecTV, right. So I have, like, all the sports stuff, right? Like, any sports network you can think of, I have it. You know, outdoors, racing, actual ESPN channels, NFL Network, Golf Channel, all that stuff, all the sports stuff. And I'm kind of dragging on a little bit because what I'm trying to do is get my PlayStation open, and I have now. Dude, I have Netflix, I have Peacock, I have HBO, I have Disney, I have Prime, I have Hulu, I have Paramount Plus. I'm about to do Apple TV because there's just building, growing stuff there. Here's two funny things, though. There's times, a lot, where I still can't find anything to watch, and I have all the DirecTV channels. And guess what else, folks? You know what I watch more than any streaming service or my DirecTV? Free YouTube TV.
Oh, it's I hear you 100%.
It's the golden age of consuming all types of media at home. There's tons of options. You just got to be smart about how you spend your money.
Ray, how are you going to spend your money?
I'm a unique person because I don't really I think most people that make a decent amount of money enough to be able to do things, they have consciously or unconsciously an entertainment budget. I'm going to put $100 this month to the movies or to go to the club or to go out to a lounge or go to a bar, something. My money all goes to streaming services because I'm a homebody. I also have cable. I have YouTube TV, which is a streaming version of cable, but it's a cable package. Excuse me. I also, much like Tony, I love YouTube so much, I pay the $15 a month for YouTube Premium without the ads because I'm a YouTube watcher. So this won't affect me. I had already, so this is just a full-on final date for Hulu. They had been integrating the app for the past year and change because maybe my favorite show ever, because I've gone back and watched it a lot recently, The Bear. The season 4 of The Bear came out solely on Hulu. It is not an FX show anymore. It's a Hulu show. And I watched that strictly 100% on Disney Plus. So the integration, my only concern about what they're doing is, one, yeah, for people who don't do the bundle, just do Disney Plus, what's the price going to be? But two, are you going to make your app easier to navigate? I like the fact that you have the hubs of the core 6 now, or 7, because they've tried to integrate ESPN Plus on it too. You got to make it easier to navigate.
Yeah, I don't like it navigating. Well, I don't know when Disney Plus did it, but whenever they changed something with how you navigate, like those hubs are nice and all, but like finding specific stuff like used to be easier in terms of like movies. And now I have to use the search box to like type in the name of a movie just to sift through, even if it's a Marvel flick. Like I was just bored and wanted to throw on Infinity War, and it took me forever to kind of narrow it down because there was like a Marvel line, but then it was like Marvel by eras. And then if you click the wrong era, you didn't get the right Marvel movies. And I was like, you know what? Fuck this shit. O'clock Avengers You're Infinity old. War.
You're old.
Shut up. You're old.
I am.
You guys are cute.
Dave. Yeah. Well, I mean, you're practically dead.
Yeah.
That's not our business.
I know.
What do you do? Do you just throw rocks at the television when you can't find what you want? Is that what happens? I don't know how this works. I'm old.
Oh, I'm actually...
That's too damn bad.
I'm pretty technologically savvy, actually.
Where's the clicker? I can't find the clicker. What do I do?
Now, I think we talked about it on Four Corners today, and I think, you know, this is just like we've mentioned, it's the consolidation of these networks. Like, I'm going to get to the point in about August 21st, where I'm going to be down to like ESPN through DTC. The Disney bundle will be part of that for a year. I'll have Netflix and Prime. When the bundle separates, I'll keep Disney Plus because that's one of our main. When you've got two of the big three on there as well, then yeah, I got to keep that, and I'll keep Max. And so I don't think it's going to change a whole lot for me, but maybe. You know, I mean, Hulu getting integrated, like Ray's saying, they've been gradually migrating everything over there anyway.
Right. Well, like I said, like I can get previews of Hulu shows, like, or I can watch the first episode of a Hulu show in many cases. There's a few exceptions.
This should make it for you like there's no reason not to, you know, not to have it any longer, because if you've got Disney Plus and it's there, what's the point?
Right. I also wonder how much... When does the end of grandfathering things end happen? Because like that's the other thing I'm fascinated. I have HBO Max because I have HBO. Because I have DirecTV, I've had an HBO subscription forever. So I got HBO Max automatically. I just keep wondering when the companies will stop and be like, no, buy this new and improved app, or buy this new thing, or buy ESPN.
They like, stopped with me selling. They stopped with me for HBO after like a year. Because it was grandfathered in through DirecTV, and then I tried to log in one day, and it said, "Nope, you got to get your own subscription." I'm like, "Fuck! All right, fine."
I still do it. I still have it.
Well, good for you. You're special, Tony. Yeah. They're not on to your nefarious means yet, I guess.
Yeah, so for me, it could also be that I am on the same. My internet is through them, so basically, maybe that's why.
Right.
Yeah,
that's why I have Xfinity.
Yeah.
By the way. Yeah. I got to tell you, I find it fascinating. And, you know, I said we wouldn't talk about this too much. I made this big thing about it. I find it fascinating the number of people who are like, I'm done with Peacock. It's done, you know, because you're a wrestling fan or whatever. And you're going to go to the ESPN. I love Peacock. And I'm not dropping my subscription. And I mentioned this on Four Corners, not only because I like some of the past content that's available for me on Peacock. Like I started watching Saturday Night Live from the beginning, very beginning. Episode one, I'm just watching it in order. Scrubs is one of my favorite television shows of all time on Peacock.
Tunney's too.
But also,
Tunney's too.
Oh, yeah, Tunney loves to hate him some Scrubs.
I don't.
Also, I mean, I disagree with you, but then again, you like The Office. So Scrubs, which you can watch on Peacock.
They're not doing a Scrubs spinoff.
They're just reviving Scrubs. It's coming back.
Oh God, that's been announced.
You're even worse. Anyway, and even the paper is exclusive to Peacock, right? Like it's not airing on NBC.
Right.
Did I see that correctly?
I think
or is
that's
it airing
correct.
On NBC as a show? But you know, Peacock's still trying to find his thing. But the other thing for me as a sports fan. And as a Midwest boy out here in the East and wants to see every opportunity to watch Big Ten college football, in particular college basketball, to see his beloved Illini play, Peacock carries Big Ten games. In fact, I have to have like four different streaming services to watch the Big Ten because of all the different contracts to play. So Peacock's not going away for me. I don't think I'm going to buy the ESPN streaming service, but I am definitely keeping, you know, Disney. I'm intrigued to see what it means for me or Hulu. And if I get Hulu as part of an increased price on my Disney Plus account, like it's kind of a win for me as a consumer, because I think in the long haul, the cost for that is not going to hit me as hard as I would think.
Well, Hulu's $6.
Well, right now you'd be making out if you had the ESPN Plus, Hulu, Disney Plus bundle. That's where you're making out doing the three of those together, but you won't need ESPN Plus really.
Question will be, after that first year, what will that bundle cost? The Disney, ESPN, DTC, all that crap. You know, how much is that going to actually cost? You think it'll be $49?
I bet you they go $49.99 and you get like everything. Like they integrate ESPN Plus in there. You're going to have so many UFC pay-per-views probably that are
in there. Well, that was what we talked about this morning.
Some of them are to buy too, you know, like it's going to be an all-encompassing thing.
Right. What I mentioned to Pat this morning is that the two big questions with all this is like, what happens to the back catalog for WWE? What happens to UFC? You know, those are two big factors. I mean, maybe if they're going to do 50.
You already have the NFL Network and all of the NFL coming on there as well. So like they're ready to go.
To your point, UFC rights are up too.
Yep.
So they're also shopping currently as they are. And wording is important in press releases like this. The WWE licensed only their live PLEs. So they're going to make another check.
So the archives.
They're going to make another check for the archive. Whether it's just putting on the Vault YouTube channel or keeping it on Peacock or selling it to Netflix, wherever they do. And that's going to be another $100 million a year.
And here's the thing, bottom line. People are going to pay for it. Like
they are.
It doesn't matter where the content goes. They're going to pay for it. They're going to find a way, because if somebody has something they want, and we're just such a consumer society, like we want all of the content that we can get. You see it all the time, whether it's sports content, whether it's this show, that show, half a dozen, whatever's like in this digital age, it's about as much access as you can get. And as much entertainment as you can get. So I also don't think we're done, right? Like, I don't think this is over by any means. I think Disney is just another domino. And I think you'll see more of this happening in the future.
Can I ask a question to the group?
Sure.
Because you didn't, I don't believe you mentioned it. I think it's very relevant in the conversation. Yes, that they cut the deal where they got the NFL Network and Red Zone. But in doing that deal, they had to give in the NFL 10% equity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you think that there could be a lot of other entities, Sports Illustrated, Meadowlark with Lebertard and those crew, a lot of people are wondering and questioning and positing, is there a conflict of interest? Because think of something as simple as Pablo Torre basically damn them single-handedly founded all the corruption going on with the NFLPA and the NFL and the collusion and all this stuff, and got found proof of all that. And ESPN didn't cover it for a week. Now they're literally in business with the NFL, not just that they have licensing to their shows or their network or their content, but the NFL owns 10% of the company. Are you any of you concerned about what that could possibly mean for what's left of quote unquote journalism? Is that a relevant conversation to have?
I mean, I don't think there's been good journalism since the onset of news as entertainment and not news as news. So, like, the conflict of interest just moves. It's insane. Like, Disney's one of the most self-serving companies out there with its own narrative and what it tries to control. The NFL, sports in general, like Major League Baseball is just ridiculous in the shit they try to sell you within their own umbrella. Go ahead.
I mean, like, you know, the NFL now steps into a role that's basically like a 10% ownership in the NFL sounds like a lot, but in the grand scheme of, 10% ownership in ESPN, I got that backwards, sounds like a lot. But when you take that and put it in the grand scheme of the Disney umbrella of things, it's like, oh, cool. The NFL is a minority shareholder in the Disney Corporation. But, nice to see you. That sort of thing.
The ESPN-NFL relationship has been in bed with each other even before this deal got nailed down either. Like I don't watch ESPN's coverage of the NFL draft.
No.
Because that is a controlled narrative.
I mean, if you're going to have...
I literally just follow the ticker to find out who got drafted. Sure. I mute the shows.
Let's be real, though. If you have like a shareholders meeting and Roger Goodell stands up there, Bob Iger's going to pay attention to that, you know, that sort of thing. So, I mean, maybe there does have some gravitas to that. But as far as what they could really do or like propagating policy or proxy voting and all that shit, I don't see it.
I see your point when you're talking about the overall sphere of Disney. I'm strictly sticking to the entity that is the DBA known as.
Yeah, ESPN. I think the NFL ESPN aspect is dicey.
That point, yes, 10% is not a lot. Please forgive the outrageousness of this, but it's a valid point, I think. Jay-Z owned less than 1% of the Nets and was the reason they moved to Brooklyn. It's all about who owns that small percentage of a company can matter. And I think that could be dangerous.
Could be.
It could be. And I think we'll see it play out sooner rather than later. And we'll know. And when it happens, I'm sure the sports world will lose its collective mind. And then the lawsuits will follow. All right. We're careening towards the end of this show. Enjoy spending money towards your production company overlords. That's really what it comes down to. You will suck at the teat of Bob Iger and Disney right now, and get your NFL games or what have you. But that's not relevant. What is relevant is talking about what we're watching on all these streaming services, ironically enough. So, you know what, Ray, we're gonna kick it off with you today. What you watching, man?
I've started and trying to get through as much as I can of Twisted Metal season 2. Shout out to Mackie, shout out to Samoa Joe, shout out to Stephanie Beatrice. Love the show because I love the game. I saw Weapons yesterday and I saw it in the 4DX seats. Me, my mom, my baby girl, and a friend of mine, and it was creepy as fuck. It was creepily you'll love it. There's a reason. You said it had 100% of Rotten Tomatoes?
At least at one point it did. I don't know if it still does, but it for a long time was 100%.
If you did a Life Fantastic Four, you did, or you had any qualms about Shia Ball, old girl played the fuck out this role in this movie. So she earned her shit.
It dropped down to 95%.
Well,
95% on the tomato meter and 87% popcorn meter. Like it
shit is trash. It's garbage.
Yeah, it's strong.
No, it was a fantastic movie. You should see it. You'd love it. Let me know when you do see it. It's been a really fun run in the past month or so for unique movies. We'll be seeing The Bad Guys 2 within the next week or two, by the way, with the kids, which is another fun. Shout out. I'm the guy on here that bitches about a lack of original IPs. Shout out to the original IPs of shit like Weapons and The Bad Guys 2. Keep doing what y'all doing.
Sonny.
I mean, the usual suspects for me, I don't even have to run that list down for you guys, but I have been watching a lot of golf. We're in the first 3 weeks of PGA playoffs, and it's been a really fun year. Scottie Scheffler, been dominating, most dominant since Tiger Woods, and then I wouldn't even bring it up, except we have one of the biggest events in golf happening about a month or so from now, a little bit more. The Ryder Cup, the Europeans versus the Americans, will be getting his teams picked by the end of this month and early next month for the captain's picks. And man, Rory already, you know, tried to set up the rivalry by saying, we want to do something that means the most in golf, and that's winning a Ryder Cup on away turf. So this year it's in New York at Bethpage Black.
All right, David Ungar.
Yeah, I got my money on our boys to win that one. A couple things I've been watching. I have started watching Eyes of Wakanda, gotten through the first two episodes. Very good. I really enjoy that. It is a different take on the Nation of Wakanda against, and I don't want to spoil it for any of you guys, with the backdrop of history and that sort of thing. So highly recommend that. I got two more episodes. I did watch Trainwreck Storm Area 51 on Netflix, which I highly recommend because A, it started here in Bakersfield. And I did not realize that the kid who started it, working at a vape shop at the Valley Plaza Mall here, it is a lesson like Pat and over earlier we talked about people wanting to do things that go viral and you just never know. This kid just started this as a joke. Let's storm Area 51. And the next thing you know, 3 million people are all like, yeah, let's do it. And that sets off a whole cataclysm of events going over in Rachel, Nevada, that you just would be like, what? We're going to have how many people show up out here? It's a really good watch. I highly recommend checking out it. Not even for the UAP-based analysis, but just like a lesson in the power of social media and how you just don't know what is going to hit at any particular time. So those are the two main things I think I've been watching, and a lot of wrestling this last couple of weeks, it seems.
Been a big wrestling
match. I continued my rewatch of Ted Lasso. I have made it all the way up to season 3. One of my favorite things in this particular rewatch that I noticed from season 1 to season 2 is a lot of people talk about season 2 and the development of Nate into the character he becomes at the end of season 2. And what I found really interesting upon this rewatch is you get a good foreshadowing of that happening in season 1 when you watch it within the context of having seen season 2. And this moment that I'm referring to is right before they win the big game where Ted has his panic attack. And Nate wrote all these notes about all the players. And he gives Nate those notes to read to them as they're talking. And they're mean and downright personal. But because everybody liked Nate as the guy who's getting tread on, and they see this as this him standing up for himself moment, they don't really see what it's setting up to be in season 2. And watching it within the context of season 2 and then going to season 3 is just kind of a nice little thing to pay attention to. Like, if you look at it from a different lens and how he talks to people and how he then becomes that as a coach. Because when he starts coaching, he coaches like that and belittles people instead of actually building them up, which is what Ted does. So it's an interesting, different way to watch it. The little O'Dowd and I are going through, we've talked about this, we're rewatching all these Alien movies. We're now to the prequels, and we just got done watching Prometheus last night. And I enjoyed this with him thoroughly because he was so annoyed by the characters in this movie because there are a bunch of scientists that are going on an expedition to a place they've never known, seen, or interacted with in any way, where the beginning of life may be. And they just go around willy-nilly touching everything in sight and fucking things up in the most unscientific way possible. And he was just like, why are these the dumbest scientists ever? And he was like, they kind of deserve it. They kind of deserve what happens to them. So that I am in the middle of watching the end of season 5 of Black Mirror as well. And am about to go into an embargo of entertainment as I head into my work week. So that's what I've been watching. And that brings us to another conclusion of an episode of Bandwagon Nerds. And before we get out of here, fellas, tell everybody where they can find you on the socials and on the Chairshot Radio Network. This week, we will start with my good friend, the lawyer, David Ungar.
Public service announcement here. We talked about what you're watching. Here's something you should not watch. War of the Worlds, which is sitting at a 3% Rotten Tomato score with Ice Cube. Yeah, I know. You need to steer clear of that garbage right there.
What is that over there? What are you doing? Get away from that.
how you score. It was, it, you know, like you guys were saying, weapons was at 100%. This was at a 0% until the last couple of days where somebody threw it some love to get it up to 3%. Oh, geez.
That was O'Shea Jr. That's what that
probably
was.
Probably O'Shack Hennessy. Is that who it was, Ray? O'Shack Hennessy? You can follow me on X and Blue Sky at Attitude Ag. That is at Attitude AGG. Facebook.com/Attitude of Aggression and at Attitude of Aggression, all one word, over on Instagram or Threads if you so choose.
Recap.
You can follow me on the cesspool known as social media at Wrestling Realist. That's WRESTLNG Realist. Hashtag number one chair shot villain.
That is true. PC Tunney.
Follow me at PC Tunney. Listen to everything Chair Shot Radio Network on all of your favorite streaming platforms.
And you can follow me on the social media platforms at It's Ray Cash, at ItsReyCash, bitch. You can catch me every Monday.
Rey's a Mysterio. You got to do the shtick, bro. Come on.
I'm no selling you. Dropping my handle for you. You can follow me on those platforms. You can also listen to me every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday on the Chair Shot Radio Network. Mondays talking nerdy stuff with these guys. Tuesdays talking sports with Dave on the Four Corners Podcast. And on occasional Wednesdays talking wrestling with one Greg DeMarco on the Greg DeMarco Show. Let's see if we get two in a row this week, Greg. I believe in us. Otherwise, that's going to do it for this week's edition of Bandwagon Nerds. Hope everybody enjoyed the show. Now get yourself out of the basement, get some sun, and start pulling all those resources and figuring out which streaming service you're going to have to decide to cut and keep, because you're going to have some decisions to make. You've been listening to Bandwagon Nerds here on the Chairshot Radio Network or on thechairshot.com.
It's the Batmobile. Just look.
I am looking. And isn't Robin too much?
Welcome to Dunbar's, Batman and Robin. What'll it be today?
We're looking for someone who might be working here. Thelma Timepiece.
Oh, yes, Thelma. Sorry, Batman, you can't win them all. She quit last week. I think she went back to her hometown in the Midwest. But I'd be glad to take your order.
I am a little hungry.
Of course, Robin. Even crime fighters must eat. And especially you. You're a growing boy and you need your nutrition.
Hamburgers, medium rare.
May I recommend Bat Burgers?
Bat Burgers?
Trouble stealing your appetite.
Arrest it with our new Bat Burger. I'm honored by this tribute, miss. Two Bat Burgers, medium rare, and two glasses of orangeade, doubles.